Jerry doing a little television right now. Brett Hollander alongside the Missile Cadre Ismail, Stan White, and Ravens president Dick Cass. And Dick, let's jump right into it. Only the second time in club history, they're coming off of a Super Bowl championship. Tell us about the offseason from a marketing standpoint. How has life changed to be a Baltimore Raven?
It hasn't changed that much for us. I mean, it's winning the Super Bowl is fabulous, great for us, great for the city. But we've really moved on to the next season. We had to do that very, very quickly. And this offseason, in many ways, is not different than other off seasons.
Does it translate monetarily at all to people, sponsorships and things like that?
Not really. No, I think what it translates into is sort of it makes our brand stronger. Mm-hmm. It deepens our relationships with the community. But in terms of translating that into dollars, you don't see that the first year. Maybe a couple years from now, we'll enjoy the benefits of it. But not right now, but we're not complaining. I mean, it's been a great offseason, but a very short one.
Have you seen the final piece of hardware that will be given out June 7th?
We have. It has been designed and is under. They're making it right now. It'll be ready. So I've seen it, but it's
well. Is it
it's
one you would
beautiful.
Wear?
Input? Did you get
no,
input?
I'm not going to wear it. It's much too big.
He said that you're going to design a ring that I would never wear.
Steve has succeeded in doing that. I assure
is that right?
You.
Okay.
It's big and it's. I think it's actually a very nice combination of bling and classy.
Good.
That's pretty good.
You can do that.
Well,
but yeah.
When I was down at the NFL Experience down in New Orleans, and they had all the rings on display. That 2000 ring, compared to the gaudiness of, say, the Patriots or even the Giants, really stood out. And I was like, wow, if this happens again, I hope that that has an opportunity to be a 2012 standout type of a ring.
This ring will stand out. It'll be closer to what some of the other teams have done in recent years in terms of size and wow factor.
Very cool.
Dick, I get a lot of questions from listeners and fans about how the drafting process works with the salary cap. Right now, these players would theoretically, when they are signed, fit into the salary cap structure.
Yes.
How does it work?
Well, there's a specific allocation within the salary cap for rookies, so we have to fit our rookies into that allocation, and we've set aside the money to do that.
It's like 6-point-something million, right?
Yeah, whatever. I don't remember off the top of my head, but we've got plenty of room to do that, so we're fine in that regard.
But it's not a separate pool
no,
above
the salary,
and beyond the
123. The salary cap is $123 million, right. And within that $123, you have a rookie allocation depending on where you're drafting.
And how many,
and how many
you
picks
have.
You have.
But you don't have to use it on those, or you can't go above that
you
number
You can't
either.
Go above that number.
Right. As far as there's...
But it's hard to stay below that number, too, given agents you're working with and everything. So you pretty much use up the allocation.
Right.
Did you feel, as an organization and I guess as a league in general, the way in which... the CBA came out with the, I guess you would call it slotting. There's no longer that high first round number one pick, 30 to upwards up to $50 million salary as far as signing bonus wise. Do you feel that it's kind of like leveled it out and helped out teams?
I think it has helped teams, and I think it's helped veteran players too, because now the amount of money that's allocated to rookies is nowhere near as high as it used to be in the old CBA. So there is more money under the salary cap to go to veteran players.
And it makes the draft better, too, because those picks are now tradable, right? Before, nobody – what was it, New England and the Matt Castle situation? They took a number two instead of a number one because they didn't want – you know, you invest so much – used to invest so much in those high picks. If you made a mistake, it may set you back a couple years.
Yeah, but it's unusual to give up a number one pick for that reason. But I agree with you. I mean, there was a – it makes a high number one pick much more valuable in the trading market because you don't have to spend as much money to sign that player as you used to have to spend.
Dick, the amount of work that goes in is year-round. It's actually multi-year. Obviously, when these guys are sophomores and juniors, they come on the radar screen. Winning a Super Bowl, even though you've done it now twice in 13 years, it's not an every-year thing. So I would imagine your staff has had to juggle their schedules and the way you prepare for the draft in ways you haven't had to do in the previous decade.
Well, I think the struggle this offseason was we had the Super Bowl, and then free agency came so quickly after the Super Bowl that there was a lot of pressure on the staff to get all that work done. And all the preparation just got pushed back. I mean, there are teams that have been not playing in the postseason, had a 5-week head start on us. We are not complaining.
Again, a problem you want to have.
It's a very, very good problem, but sure. It does create tension and creates some anxiety and people worked really hard this offseason to get ready both for free agency and then for the draft.
There's been a lot of talk in recent years about the desire to move the draft up closer to the end of the season. Are you happy that didn't happen this year especially?
That would have been very bad for us this year. Now the talk is to move. There's some talk around the league about moving the draft later in the year.
More towards June?
Towards May.
Would they move free agency too and stuff? Because one of the things that bothered me is you didn't have the celebration sort of ended when you started getting rid of the players. You know, it was just like it's a quick celebration down at the stadium, and all of a sudden this guy's gone, and people were talking about that rather than celebrating the Super Bowl.
You're right. I mean, we had to start preparing for free agency and trying to sign Joe Flacco immediately after winning the Super Bowl. So it was a lot of hard work had to go into those couple of weeks after the Super Bowl.
And then new expectations are born starting tonight with your pick, because as we've seen in the past, whether it's Jimmy Smith or Courtney Upshaw or Joe Flacco, the minute that next player arrives, it re-energizes the entire organization.
Well, we have 12 picks, so there's going to be a lot of new faces around. We've signed some significant free agents, so there will be a lot of new faces on our team when we start the season next year, and it's exciting for all of us.
Football question, do you watch film? Do you sit there and say, okay, I'm breaking it down, I know the X's and O's of what's going on?
I do not.
What?
And
all these, you don't just say, Joe Ortiz, come into my office, sit down, talk to me.
They're too busy. I sit in on the meetings when we're discussing in the 2 weeks, 3 weeks leading up to the draft. I sit in the meetings with the scouts and the coaches, hearing the discussion, listening to the discussion. But I don't have time to watch tape, and it would be these guys, this is their life. This is what they do. I don't do that. I'm not trained to do that. I wouldn't substitute my judgment for their judgment. Wouldn't be right.
Kevin Byrne said last night that Steve Bisciotti is great at assessing value of picks, and he just lives for this process. Does he ever watch tape? Has he ever been called in to say, what do you think here, Steve?
No, he doesn't watch tape either. But what he does, he's very interested in the trading process and the value of the picks and of the trade chart that all the teams use. So he's very much involved in that, interested in that. And he obviously is very much interested in who we're selecting and how the draft is going in terms of the players. But again, he's not trained to watch tape. Our scouts not only are watching tape, they're talking to a lot of people about players. They're going to practices. They're going to live games. They're spending their entire year working on this. We could never catch up.
Dick Cass, Ravens team president, has been our guest as we get you set for the upcoming 2013 NFL Draft. First pick comes on the clock in 1 hour and 35 minutes. That belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Dick, I suppose between now and then, there should be a few phone calls around here.
There'll be some phone calls, I'm sure. Already have been some phone calls.
Well, we'll let you go field those calls. Thanks for making time for us tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you stay with us. We continue our live coverage leading up to the 2013 NFL Draft here on BAL.